We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Steve Kerr will be joining us here in just a little bit. One more sign of things historically are really good for the Warriors when they reach the Western Conference Finals with a home court advantage. The Warriors in the Steph era are 19-1 in postseason series when they've had home court advantage, and here it is. It's kind of a stunning development given how it looked like the Phoenix Suns were all but guaranteed to be your Western Conference Finals Game 1 host, but no. The ball did not bounce that way. We're going to have Game 1 at Chase Center coming up on Wednesday night, and the man who will be back on the bench, Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, brought to you by Xfinity. Stay connected, protected, and entertained. Steve, welcome back, first of all. How are you feeling? We're glad that you're good enough to be back in the saddle again.
Thank you, Damon. Yeah, I'm doing fine. Fortunately, did not have a severe case, and symptoms were pretty light, but just had to clear protocol and did so yesterday, so good to be back.
Well, that's great. What was harder on you, the virus or Game 5?
Well, I liked Game 6, but Game 5 definitely was a tough one to deal with. But, it's a 7-game series for a reason, and we took care of our business. We got it done, so I'm really proud of the guys.
I know that your wife tweeted about never wanting to watch an NBA game with you at home again, but it must have been even harder on you, all things considered. The levels of hell that you must be going through as you're watching a Warriors playoff game. I mean, if you had less hair today because you pulled some out, I wouldn't blame you at all. That, even though you've been through this before, I don't think you can be prepared for that.
Yeah, it was tough. It was really tough. Especially in the middle of such a fight, it happened when we were up 2-1, knowing how good Memphis is, knowing that we were going to have to be on top of our game to beat them. And then for it to happen literally 2 hours before the game, I was feeling some symptoms. I didn't feel right, and I knew I had to test because if I had gotten the players sick, that would have been a complete disaster. And so to find out just before the game was going to start was kind of bizarre. But like I said, it all worked out, and ready to go for the next series.
So all that said, what happened to you guys in Game 5 while you were recuperating at home and making your wife miserable happened to a lot of other teams too in this postseason. Is that, and this is more sort of a put on your league watching hat rather than your head coaching hat, is this happening more often for a particular reason, or is it just blind pig luck over and over again?
Is what happening more?
The number of very lopsided games.
That's a good question. I think, the dominance of the 3-point line has something to do with it. The two games yesterday, both blowouts. The teams that controlled the 3-point line just won easily. And if you get blown away, in that category, if your opponent makes way more threes than you, it's just so hard to keep up. And so I think that's probably the main reason, that and just pace of games these days. you know, there's a lot of shooting, a lot of scoring, and things can get out of hand quickly if one team is struggling.
70 rebounds. 70 rebounds, 22 from Kevon Looney, 11 offensively. The front court alone of Looney, Green, and Wiggins grabbed 48 rebounds. And the reason why this team wasn't on an airplane going to Memphis for Game 7, look, with all due respect to Game 6 Clay, and there's something special there, and we'll talk about it, but it was the greatest game Kevon Looney's played since whatever game got him a full scholarship to UCLA. I don't know. Like, he was unbelievable.
Yeah, so was Wiggins. You know, his defense on Tyus Jones was great. He hit huge shots in the fourth quarter when we were struggling. You mentioned the rebounding, the 11 boards. I thought Wiggs and Loon were just massive in that game. And, you know, that's what it takes in the playoffs. Your stars have to play like stars, which ours did. You know, Steph, Clay, and Draymond all came up huge. But generally speaking, you know, it's always, especially as you get deeper in the playoffs and the competition's so good, it always comes down to, you know, do you get a couple of wild cards? You know, Dallas gets 25 from Spencer Dinwiddie in Game 7. You know, like that, that's kind of what has to happen for, you know, for one team to win. They just have to, they got to play well, and they got to get some contributions, some really great contributions from, you know, people other than their stars.
It's probably time to start asking misleading, granular questions about the series coming up. So let me start with this.
Does
the fact that Dallas plays at least a slightly slower pace than you guys do generally, does that become a real issue in the series, or is that just a number that really has no meaning once the ball goes up?
Well, I think it matters. I think it's an adjustment that Jason Kidd made with the team this year when he took over. They slowed their pace down. I believe they were 30th in the league in pace. And,
yes.
You know, Luka is a very methodical player. It does remind me a little bit of Houston and the Harden teams from a few years ago that we used to face routinely in the playoffs. You know, shooting at every spot and, you know, dominant one-on-one player and, you know, maybe not the fastest tempo around. So I think they have found a really good sweet spot where they're able to improve their defense, you know, not only through schemes and individual versatility defensively, but by controlling the pace as well. So they've found a really good formula.
How much harder is it to make a team that wants to play slow play fast than it is to make a team that wants to play fast play slow?
Yeah, it is difficult, especially when you get a guy like the, you know, that ball dominant and that that much in control of the game. You know, he doesn't get rattled very easily. So, you know, again, there's a reason they were 30th in pace. It was, you know, relatively easy for them to control that and to keep the game at the pace of their liking. And so they, you know, it's not an easy thing to do to speed a team up.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, game one of the Western Conference Finals, Wednesday night here on 95.7 The Game, and you're going to be handling Luka, obviously. How many coaching red flags just start popping up for you as you watch tape on him? Because if we just wanted to concentrate on what he did to Phoenix alone, he outscored their fourth place MVP vote getter in Devin Booker. He out-rebounded their 7-footer in DeAndre Ayton. He out-assisted one of the best point guards of all time. And he had more steals than the Defensive Player of the Year runner-up. So he feels about as well-built a young player as maybe the league has seen since LeBron's fourth year, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, he's, however you want to slice it, he's amazing. He's really, really something. So he's unique, and they've built their team around him. But, you know, that shouldn't take away from the fact that they've got a really good supporting cast, and the roster fits really well together. You know, bunch of three-point shooters. They've got secondary playmakers with Dinwiddie and Brunson, and they got a good vibe. You can just tell they've got a good spirit about them, and that's why they're where they are right now.
We were just talking with Kevin Arnovitz from ESPN, who's covering this series going forward and was watching you guys against the Memphis Grizzlies. And, you know, when we were talking about how you defend Luka with him, the very first thing he said is if he had found the Ark of the Covenant was you never blitz Luka. You don't want to run two guys at him because he can see over everything and he can just pass out of problems because he's that skilled of a passer. Is there truth to that?
I wouldn't say never. I mean, I think that's pretty strong. I think you got to mix up coverages against him. He's too good to just give the same look to over and over again. So I wouldn't rule out, you know, blitzing, that kind of stuff. You just have to go in knowing that there's no, like, one formula that where you're going to say, oh, aha, we got it. You know, this is a series where we're going to have to adapt and adjust game to game, even quarter to quarter. And, you know, he's that good.
Without getting into any details, do you have to do more things that are different against him than you did against Nikola Jokic? I mean, I know they're different players, but is it harder to come up with enough things to throw at Doncic than it was at Jokic?
I think they're actually really similar. You know, they can beat you in so many different ways. Biggest difference is that Doncic has the ball in his hands from the beginning of the possession, whereas Jokic, it was more, you know, he would get the ball eventually, you know, in the pocket out of pick and roll or, you know, whatever it was they ran. But it's very similar in that, you know, they can just beat you a bunch of different ways, and you've got to be creative and you've got to be flexible.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. So we saw Klay do it again in Game 6. He's been extraordinary, and he's still not as good as he can be. And it's obvious that Steph Curry, who's had a fine year, is still not shooting it as well as he could. And I'm looking at this, and you talked about how important it is to be dominant at the three-point line to the point where if you are, teams turn into almost unbeatable entities. In a weird way, is this kind of a shooting contest for you guys from here on out? I mean, with all the defensive principles that you preached into this locker room, is this just, hey, guys, we hit our career averages from the three-point line. We're going to be championship.
I think that's simplifying things a little too much. But I think what's important is that both teams have a lot of depth to their shooting. You know, for us, it's not just Steph and Klay. You know, we've got you know, Wiggins and Poole and Porter, and, you know, guys who can very easily have a game where they hit five or six threes. If you look at the games that we played Dallas in the regular season, you know, both teams shot the ball, you know, a lot from the three-point line. So, you know, there will be plenty of three-pointers attempted, and yes, there's a certain element of truth to, you know, you got to shoot it well to win, but there's a lot that goes into that, you know, and that's our job as coaches. What's the detail that we have to figure out? You know, are we going to make one player in particular, you know, take more threes than another? You know, do we know the spots where guys like to shoot from, and can we discourage them from getting those shots? I mean, and they're doing the same thing on their end as they scout us. So a lot of detail that goes into that, but yeah, the three-pointer will be a huge factor in the series.
At what point yesterday did you throw out your notes on the Suns?
Yeah, that was shocking. I mean, it, you know, two great teams. You know, Phoenix won 64 games for a reason. It was, but, you know, probably halftime. It was like, you, at halftime, you could say, this is not changing. And how crazy is that, given how good Phoenix was this year and playing at home in a Game 7? I mean, nobody could have predicted that.
do you feel like you've dodged a bullet here? And I'm not trying to give Dallas any bulletin board material at all. Crazy respect for them. But a 64-win team has gone home before the conference finals. That feels significant. Like, I actually thought that the sentence, "The Golden State Warriors have returned to the NBA Finals," would be an easier truth to tell than "the Golden State Warriors will be hosting Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals." Like, that's how assured it looked like Phoenix was going to do that.
Well, I mean, you get to this level in the playoffs. Once you get past the first round, generally, you know, you got a bunch of teams that are good enough to win it all. And I felt like Dallas and Phoenix, second half of the season, were two of the best teams we played and were absolutely both championship contenders. So, you know, and their series won seven games. So, I mean, regardless of what happened, we were going to be in a spot where we were going to have to beat somebody really damn good. So that's how I look at it.
How much better or worse is it to just have seven games or a maximum of seven games played every other day where you don't have to worry about a long break here or a long break there?
Yeah, I think where it comes into play is when you go back and forth, when you travel. I like the fact that you don't have 2 days off in one city. You know, that's, nobody likes doing that. You know, we had to sit in Denver for 2 days before game four. It's a strange feeling when you're waiting around in the hotel room. So, in this series, it's every other day, which means our travel days, will lead right into game day the next day. So that's the biggest difference. You don't have that extra prep day. And you don't have a whole lot of time to rest, and it is a pretty long flight, you know, 3.5 hours or so there and back. So it's like, both teams are going to have to deal with that.
When Draymond asserts himself trying to score, how much does that change things for you guys? Because, God, it feels like it's when Draymond does that, you guys look unbeatable. It's just when he is having a great game, I love the Warriors to win that night. And when he's not, okay, now we got a conversation. But, gosh, when he gets aggressive, it feels like it just opens up. Even missed shots for him pay off.
Yeah, there's a different vibe. You can feel it, you know, when he's aggressive. I love the other night in Game 6 where he launched that three early in the game. And it didn't make it, but it didn't matter. Like, it just set a tone. And I don't know how many shots he took the other night, but he was aggressive. I think he had 14 points. There was just a bounce to his step. He was all over the glass. He was vintage Draymond, and that's the best version, the one who is aggressive and, you know, talking trash to the other team and the other team's coach and, you know, knocking down a three and yelling at the world. Like, that's the guy we love. And we're going to ask him to be very aggressive in this series for sure.
The endless conversations about the number of turnovers you guys commit is only going to get ratcheted up one more time. But how much do you view the difference between a dead ball turnover and a live ball turnover as the thing that actually kills you rather than just the gross number of turnovers?
Yeah, I mean, you'd way rather have the dead ball turnover where you get your defense set up. The live ball turnovers are killers. So there is a pretty big difference. But I just think as you get deeper in the playoffs, the competition gets better. Every possession matters, and we are going to be a relatively high turnover team. We have been for a long time, and as long as it's measured and tempered, then I think we're fine. We've won championships being a high turnover team, but it can't be obscene. You know, it's got to be. Got to be reasonable.
Define obscene.
I think you can see that picture for yourself.
And you know it when you see it. Jordan Poole We're watching a young man go through a trial by fire in real time. And the, you know, he adjusted to the NBA. The NBA's made an adjustment back to him. And then it gets even amplified more in the postseason. Was just Memphis getting more physical with him, or were they doing other things through the scouting report that you noticed and you can talk to Jordan about? Or is it just simply, you know, this is what playoff basketball is, and when you come back next year, you're going to have rounder shoulders because you're going to put on 8 to 12 pounds of muscle because you know what the beating is like now?
Well, they got more physical. They put Brooks on him a little bit. Brooks is a very physical guard. But I think the series changed quite a bit for Jordan when Steven Adams got into the paint and clogged things up. Before that, he was Jordan was getting to the rim at will, and it's one of the reasons Memphis made the adjustment that they made, going back to their two big lineup, and obviously they had some success with it. You know, forced us to go back to our two big lineup, and we were able to, you know, to win the series. But you know, every series is kind of like this. There's adjustments, and you know, as a team you have to adjust, but as a player you have to adjust too, but Jordan is learning all that as he's going, and it's a great experience.
It's amazing the amount of experience that you guys have collectively in the postseason. I was looking this up today. I really hope Andre Iguodala can join the party again. Should he play again, he'll be appearing in his 35th postseason series. Klay is about to start his 26th. Draymond about to start his 26th. Steph Curry about to start his 25th postseason series. Kevon, 11. Off the top of your head, Steve, do you know how many that you were involved in as a player?
I would guess 25 or so.
30. You'd be the second most postseason experienced Golden State Warrior if you were playing, not coaching, this team.
Well, yeah, I'm glad I'm not playing. I'm glad losing. We got Draymond and Steph playing instead.
Well, I'll tell you, the amount of experience that you guys have, the amount of success that you have enjoyed at this level is overwhelming. We certainly hope it can continue. The ride has been extraordinary. Just the story as it's unfolded has been extraordinary. It's been an awful lot of fun to watch, to cover, and to talk to you. We're going to wish you good luck the rest of the way, good health the rest of the way. We're very happy you're feeling better, and we look forward to doing this again real soon, and maybe even in the next round, shall we say.
I'd love nothing more.
Thank you so much. Steve Kerr, here on 95.7 The Game. Great stuff. Good to have that guy back into the room. And again, you want to call the Warriors a little long in the tooth, a little old? Fine. The experience that they have, when you look at it in comparison to the other teams remaining, it's comical. It's comical. I mean, if experience matters, the Warriors are NBA champions. They have so much experience. They've been here so many different times. They have seen it all. They've been through it all, including, hey, our head coach isn't even available to coach tonight in this really big postseason game. What do you think that's going to do? Probably not change the outcome that much. Maybe on a given night, sure. But when it's all said and done, it's staggering how often this team is on top.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it puts into perspective how little a coach can affect something on game day. Well, not game day, but during the game.
Right, a moment.
But up until then, it sounds like he was being a royal pain in the ass to Mike Brown. Just endlessly on the phone. Hey, let's try this. Hey, what do you think? Have you talked to the players about this? And it sounds like Mike Brown probably threw his phone in the toilet a couple of times just to make the noise stop.
I'll say this. In years where we've had conversation with Steve Kerr, his phone has let us down so many times. His phone is having an incredible NBA season. The reception is so much better than it's been in the past. So we thank him for that. The Steph area Warriors are 19-1 in postseason series where they've had home court advantage. That feels pretty good. What doesn't look good is the statistical, I don't want to call it gobbledygook, but the analysis of the website, 538. The Warriors, according to 538.com, have the lowest chance of winning the finals. The Celtics have a 43% chance to win it all. The Mavericks a 35% chance. The Heat a 15% chance. And the Warriors a 7% chance. That's all they're getting in the 538 statistical breakdown.
That's worth knowing what their methodology is, because without knowing that, the numbers sort of don't mean much, unless they're trying to suggest that it's much harder to get out of the East than it is the West.
They're giving the Dallas Mavericks a 73% chance to make it out of this round, which is the biggest percent chance any team of the remaining four has to get out of their conference finals. And I'd like to think, Ray, I'm not colored by any, you know, area code bias here. I think the Warriors have an incredible, like, I would not be picking the Warriors against the Phoenix Suns. I'm picking the Warriors against the Dallas Mavericks. Warriors in six feels about right to me. Six or seven. Because Luka is all that in a bag of chips. But the Warriors, when they're on, are a full appetizer buffet. They're the poo-poo platter of problems for other teams when they see them. And they're really geared up and good. And, you know, if Draymond Green shows up, if Jordan Poole is putting up numbers similar to his regular season performances, while the Clay and the Curry happen according to plan. That's how I think they get past the Dallas Mavericks. You tell me Otto Porter Jr. is going to be back into the mix? I am throwing Jonathan Kuminga and Juan Toscano-Anderson, you heard me, just at Luka. Not to really try to stop him, but to foul him. I'd like to see the Warriors get a little grimy with Luka Doncic. I really would. I know it's not in their DNA to do that. And I'm not talking about undercutting or doing anything dirty at all. But if Luka is living at the line because they're putting knees and elbows in him, that feels like maybe a good way to slow him down a little bit, because he is a Mack truck. He's got the winter, he's got the winter tires on. He's got the Bridgestones, the all-weathers. He just keeps coming. He really does. And he does it at his own pace.
I mean, I think, yeah, that's the one thing the Warriors don't do well, is try to get into rough game. They have enough trouble with foul control as it is. So I think that's probably the one thing that they would most like to avoid. That said, you know, how else do you deal with Doncic? You might have to spend fouls on him, just because they may not offer you an alternative. But as a way to go into the series, I'm not sure that works for them. I'm not sure what does, but of all the things I'm not sure about, that's among the highest.
Kerr insinuated that there was a little similarity between the way Luka and the Mavericks are coming in, the way that James Harden and the Houston Rockets used to come in. Here was Steve talking about that at today's media availability at Chase Center.
I think the Dallas team is very similar to Houston from a few years ago, you know, with the five out spacing, you know, five shooters on the floor. This team has three playmakers, you know, with Brunson and Dinwiddie, along with Doncic. But very similar teams, similar challenge in terms of you got to guard the ball, you got to stay in front. If they break you down, your help is just much more difficult because you're coming from so far away and there's nobody to cheat off of because they can all shoot. So they pose a really unique threat and put a lot of pressure on you. And obviously, Doncic is a tremendous player and beat you in a lot of different ways and really smart. I think very similar to Harden in that regard. So, but yeah, we've got a big challenge.
The other similarity is, of course, the shape. And Luka's in game shape now. Luka's good right now, but he is a guy who did not come into this season in very good shape. If he dedicates himself to being in the best shape as humanly possible, and the Dallas Mavericks around him continue to grow and make competent basketball decisions, a good draft pick that's a surprise here or there, a trade that doesn't turn into the, that didn't work out with Porzingis at all, level type of trade, but one that really works and fits. Luka's going to win. You know, it's tough to say that he's going to win a championship because you got to put a team around a guy. But here he is with just a couple of guys around him that really fit around him. And at the age of, was he 23? Yeah, I think Luka turns 24 somewhere around next year's All-Star break. I mean, this is a level of basketball competence rarely achieved in the prime of a career, much less at the dawn of a career, which if Luka stays healthy and in shape, he's still a part of. Like, this is just the beginning for Luka. If he's doing this 13, 15 years from now, he's going to be a multiple-time MVP and maybe even a multiple-time champion. That's who he is. He's Caucasian LeBron, the coming of. There's just no other way to say it. He's that type of physical size with that level of skill, and he is already flirting with knocking Michael Jordan off the podium for greatest playoff scoring average ever while rebounding like a center and passing like a point guard.
And by rights, he should have been a king.
Like, for real?
Well,
he actually had like an
no, he's Sacramento King.
I thought you meant like there was a to a Slovakian throne. I was unaware
Slovenian.
Of.
Slovenian. Yeah, I don't think there's a king of Slovenia, but no, he by rights he should be watching the playoffs in Sacramento and regretting his choice of going there.
Well,
instead of not going there,
actually, the regret should be fully on Sacramento, Zen, because what they have is probably a playoff team with Luka Doncic. Doncic, De'Aaron Fox, had they kept Halliburton, or, you know, talk about Luka Doncic and Domantas Sabonis, you think that would be a little bit of a handful?
I think the Kings could ruin something with five LeBron Jameses.
You might be right. Historically, the odds are not against you there.
Yeah, no.
Much like the King of Slovenia understood.
Yeah, I think people would look at Luka Doncic and go, wow, what a disappointment, even though he goes 27, 12, and 10. Because he's there, playing for them over and over again, winning 34 games and losing 58.
Tomorrow on the Morning Roast, you want to be listening, because they're going to be giving you a chance. Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning, the Morning Roast is going to give you a chance to win Game 1 tickets. And then on Thursday, tickets to Game 2. Of the Western Conference Finals. Be listening to the Morning Roast between 7:30 and 8 a.m. for your chance to win later on this week. Mike Brown stopped by the Morning Roast talking about how Chase Center absolutely brought in the juju.
It's huge. The crowd we had, you know, I will say this, and I probably will get some hate from it, but I did not think that Chase Center would rival what we got over in Oakland in terms of the loudness and feeling the crowd's energy during the games. But as an assistant coach, during these playoffs, sitting in that building, feeling the crowd the way it is and how loud it is, in my opinion, you don't know if you're in Oakland or if you're in San Francisco. And that is a huge advantage for us, because we used to ride that wave big time back in 16, 17, 18, whatever it was.
I'll say this. It might not be the constant drone of noise that you got at Oracle, but the peaks, the absolute moments of, well, that's a big shot, that's going to lift the roof off of this place, the peaks are the same. They really are. They really are. It might not be that constant energy, but that's the thing. You can't get that constant energy back, because the only way to have that constant energy is to be starving. And Warriors fans were starving. And then this team rewarded them by feeding them incredibly well. You'll never make as much noise as a fan base when you're well fed as opposed to when you were starving.
Or when you're in a building that is acoustically designed the way Oakland was, where the noise basically cascaded down upon you.
Right, it bounced.
Yeah, and because, you know, it's concrete on concrete, it bounced all the more.
And was it a concave or what's the opposite of concave? Convex? So it was a concave roof, like it bubbled down, kind of like Madison Square Garden's roof did.
Yeah. And all the old building, like the Boston Garden, Chicago Stadium, you know, they're just walls of noise. You have to work harder to get that level of noise at the newer buildings. I mean, Staples Center, or what is it now, Crypto.com Center?
Yeah, that money's pretending isn't worth what it used to be, yeah. Center.
I mean, it's as sterile as a doctor's instrument tray. It's just, it's polite golf claps. You can't get a rise. You know, the one in Milwaukee, same thing. As the newer the building, the more dead the atmosphere seems, until you get that moment where the crowd overwhelms the crappy acoustics.
Well, it is good to have Steve Kerr back, not only as an interview and as a conversation. We missed him when we couldn't talk to him last week. The Warriors have as reassuring a presence as humanly possible in their head coach. I think he knows when to give the glare, give the scowl. I know that there's been a niche Warrior Twitter presence that wants to blame Steve Kerr for anything the team doesn't do. Here's what he also does. He's compiled a 733 winning percentage. All that is in the NBA's postseason is the best in NBA postseason history. Steve Kerr is 85-31. By the way, Ime Udoka is second. Now, it's a little bit of a different in terms of sample size. Steve has coached 116 games, Udoka 11. But he has the second best winning percentage. Steve Kerr, the fourth all-time winning percentage in the regular season, the number one all-time winning percentage in the postseason. He would be the very first to tell you that without the horses, he ain't the jockey who's going to win that race. And again, that's why the horses run so hard for him. They understand how much he knows how good they are. And there are some coaches that absolutely want the pat on the back when the mission is accomplished. Steve is the last dude in the room who wants that. He really is.
I mean, he'll take it if you want to offer it. But
yeah, but he'll quickly start deflecting. Yeah. He'll talk about his assistants. He'll talk about how his, you know, video operator unlocked the key to beating LeBron and the freaking Cavaliers more than it was me.
And that's when you look at him and go, well, then put him up on the podium so we don't have to listen to you.
Podium game. Podium game for the video coordinator. Get him up there.
Yep. No, I think Arnovitz put it best. He relies on the veteran nature of his team to not only have input, but to allow them to give reasons why and to heed those reasons when they make sense, which is how you got Kevon Looney.
You know, the one thing that he might have told us too that he maybe didn't want to tell us, and this is going to frustrate fans when they actually see a defense working against Luka Doncic, is watch the Warriors deploy it and then pull it back a little. And then deploy it again, and then pull it back a little, and then try something different. Steve just basically said the only way to defend Luka Doncic is to go full-on kitchen sink at the guy. And kitchen sink means, you know, if you show him anything for too long, he's going to figure out a way to make it stop dripping. So a constant state of Rubik's Cube defenses need to probably be applied to him, because he will get comfortable with the thing that you're throwing at him that's actually working. He'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah. Well, and he said it himself. That's what they did with Jokic, which is you show him a bunch of different things so that he could never really get comfortable on any time down the floor what he was going to look at. And maybe that costs him only a second in terms of decision time, but it's a second you'd rather have than not have. Plus, they don't have any one guy who can hold Doncic down.
I mean, I'm not sure anyone in the league does.
Well, probably not. I mean, you don't put Wiggins on him, Wiggins will foul out. You don't put Draymond Green on him, Green will foul out. Or Looney, name it. Whoever you want to put on him, that's six fouls.
That's why I'm saying Kuminga, Bielitsa to some extent, Juan Toscano-Anderson could serve a better purpose just as a walking foul that you're not worried about disqualifying himself from the fourth quarter. I see them more valuable in this series than last series.
And that might be because who the hell knows what they're going to do. But Doncic is the sort of guy who's smart enough to not get fouled and take advantage of the other things that those guys can't deliver the way your veterans can. So, you know, that too is a double-edged sword because Doncic is smarter than the average bear.
No hockey tonight, Ray. So sorry.
Well, I guess I'll just have to drink more.
Just recharge your battery. Quite a first round for the NHL, and I'm going to allow you 3 minutes to talk about it on the other side of the break. You're very welcome. And then we're going to get back to sports that people care about. But it's no, seriously, playoff hockey.
No. We don't want to burden these people with stuff they don't want to care about.
That's why
playoff hockey is extraordinary, and there was plenty of evidence as the Game 7s in the NHL were actually a lot better than the Game 7s in basketball just yesterday alone. So stick around. We got one left here on 95.7 The Game together. Thanks to Steve Kerr for joining us. Great to catch up with him again. By the way, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now back to Damon and Ratto. Brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
BioNTech and Pfizer ask you to consider getting a COVID-19 booster as recommended by the CDC. We got another wave of it, so certainly protect and take care of yourself. Again, we had Steve Kerr, who's about as protected and insulated a guy in the world from COVID-19, just based on where he works and who he works around. He got it. So just be prepared, because it feels like eventually the needle's going to land on everyone. And if you're prepared to do that, you are in better shape than if you are not. Somebody on the Xfinity mobile text line says, Ray Ratto's more ruthless with his analysis than Patrick Beverley. Well, I don't know about that.
They knew starting the game what was going to happen. He's done it before. They watch, trust me, they have iPhones, they have Instagram, they see the numbers of Luka Doncic averaging 39. They hear me saying, man, he did it to me, he did it to me, Kawhi, Paul George. I'm damn sure you gonna do it to them. They know that. Boy, scared of Luka. Ain't nobody afraid of anybody over there in Phoenix, man. Everybody in the league knows that, bro. Like, it's just that y'all don't know that because y'all not in the locker room. No one's afraid of Phoenix. We wanted them. No one's afraid of Phoenix. I talked to some teammates. I ain't going to say who because I'm going to say who. Forget it. I talked to Paul George last night, man. Pat, ain't nobody scared of him.
Pat Bev on his I'd Like to Be Draymond Green 2 media tour, where he is playing and a media presence. He could do it. I mean, the guy's got a mouth. He can run it. And, you know, he basically had this to say about how, you know, Chris Paul doesn't keep anybody up at night, but another guy does.
CP3. Is he going to be a Hall of Famer? No question about it.
Yeah.
Right? No question about it. Do guys in the NBA go to sleep early the night before playing the Phoenix Suns? Hell no. No.
You mean as a team, or would you talk about Chris Paul individually?
Chris Paul individually.
Okay.
No. I'm going to stake 44 over there in Phoenix. I'm going to have me a nice little wine, probably sweat it out, and the pregame shoot around and get ready for Chris Paul. Steph Curry, I'm going to bed at 8 o'clock. Mom, don't call me. My girl, don't call me. I'm locked in right now. It's two different monsters.
Playing Steph Curry, no one call, and it's an early bedtime. Playing the Suns and Chris Paul, yeah, we're going to go to a steakhouse and go to bed late. That was from Get Up on ESPN this morning. Are you impressed with the Patrick Beverly media tour, Ray?
They put him through the washing machine like they do a bunch of other guys, and Patrick Beverly has never been shy about saying stuff. The only thing that I took that was actually interesting is the fact that he would go to bed early to face Curry, and I think that's because Curry runs around a lot more than Chris Paul. Chris Paul is, at this stage of his career, a fairly stationary figure.
And let's be honest, Steph Curry hasn't done anything to Patrick Beverly in his career that pissed him off so much as a teammate that they're now turning on him with former teammates, which is why he called Paul George. And that's, you got an awful lot of bad blood between Patrick Beverly and former Clipper teammates.
Yeah, I didn't hear this after Game 5. That's the one thing that you know, frankly, I take away from this is when they won Game 5 by 30, you didn't seem to have anything to say. Now all your pals are saying it with you. And, you know, I guess that's the way it works now. You know, wait till somebody's down and wounded and then put the boot in. But two games ago when we were sure that Dallas was done, nobody was saying a word about that. They were raving about the fact that Phoenix was the most complete team in basketball.
NHL glory, what was your favorite part of the first round? And what series are you looking forward to the most in the second?
The second to answer first, it's Calgary-Edmonton, because that will be bad blood. They have to relearn how to hate each other because they haven't played in the playoffs since 1991. But after a couple of cheap shots that should probably happen during the national anthem, they'll get back
just
to it.
Just Canada on Canada, clubbing each other with moose antlers.
Well,
good
it's
times.
Canada on Canada, but it's also on Highway 2, 2.5 hours away from each other. And almost all the other times that Calgary played Edmonton, they lost because Wayne Gretzky was kneeling down on their necks. But the most fun was the 3-overtime game between Pittsburgh and the Rangers in the game 2 of that series, which also went 7. They had 5-7 game series, but a lot of those games were really lopsided, kind of like the NBA. A lot of 4 and 5 goal wins.
The game 7 last night between the Rangers and Penguins was outstanding. The drama was real. It was great. And because there was such blowout city going on and the Giants were going through blowout city in St. Louis, I watched quite a bit of it, and it was an awful lot of fun, man. Playoff
that overtime
hockey
did not take long enough.
It didn't. No, I know you wanted more, but you didn't get any more. I'm so sorry about that. If you want more Warriors talk, there's plenty coming up. Shamari Block, Dan Devone right around the corner. We want to thank Kevin Arnovitz and Steve Kerr. And let me just say, sports, it's a wonderful thing that they're a pleasant distraction. And I just want to end with this, and you can infer with it what you want. Buffalo was an AR-15. Boulder was an AR-15. Orlando was an AR-15. Parkland was an AR-15. Las Vegas was an AR-15. Aurora, Colorado, an AR-15. Sandy Hook, an AR-15. Waffle House, AR-15. San Bernardino, AR-15. Midland, Odessa, AR-15. Poway Synagogue, AR-15. Sutherland Springs, AR-15. Tree of Life Synagogue, AR-15. Sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.